I'm Barry Morin, 34180 Frankfort, Delaware, and I live directly on the east end of the airfield. And basically, I've been at both of these hearings, and I'd just like to testify to the fact that everything that I think Mr. Willard and Mr. West presented is truly accurate, and I'd just like to go on the record as supporting this application.
What are you out again, sir? I'm sorry.
Are you on that right here, I guess?
What's your name?
Barry Morin.
Okay.
And you have an airplane, right, Barry? You fly.
Yes, I fly
here,
as well.
Right.
And you were the one that with the easement going to
17, as well as the 15-foot road, but ownership's going to be another issue there.
Yeah.
It's technically
a... Well, there was a concern somebody brought up to me about if an emergency vehicle had to get back to this thing, going up that 15-foot road could be a hair, you know, it could be tough. If for some reason something could have, you know, I don't know, it just seems that it's such a long way back and who knows what. So that was brought up to me. Could you say something about that possibly, that if you think that that is not a problem?
I truly feel it isn't. The aprons on the trees are somewhat trimmed back. It is 15 foot, but it is also kind of cleared a little bit further in width, probably to 18 or 20 feet. We run dump trucks back there,
Okay. Haul
tractors back there, et cetera, and it could be accessed by fire companies and so forth.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Anyone else wish to? Yes, sir.
Afternoon, gentlemen. My name is Paul Iannucci. I live in Milton, Delaware, and I am retired out of Dover Air Force Base. I also flew privately, and I spoke to the Planning and Zoning Commission on previous occasions. I never met Mr. West or Mr. Corman until all this came about. Happened to be listening to the radio one morning, WGMD, talking about all this information going out here. And one woman called in, and she made a statement about if you Google Earth, you can look, and there's three airplanes parked at Mr. West's property. At 12:45 p.m. today, now I've been checking this on occasion, and as of 12:45 p.m. today, that same picture is on his site, that those airplanes are still parked there. I asked Mr. West if those planes were there. He said there's one plane other than his there right now. You know, when people come in, you know, whether it's listening to the radio, you got to hear what people are saying. Mr. West has come here because he wants to make sure that he's in accordance with any laws of the state of Delaware and the federal government as far as the airplane's concerned. As he stated, he's done this for over 30 years. He's also served in the military before his daughter. I'm retired 26 years, and I mean, getting to the airport, Mr. West, if anybody lands at that airport, anyone, I don't care who it is, they have to ask for permission to land there. They just can't come in. They say, oh, well, we see a strip, we're going to land there. At the point that that person lands there, they're trespassing. They didn't get previous permission from the man. Mr. West, it wasn't mentioned here today, but it was mentioned at the Planning and Zoning Commission. Mr. West not only flies his airplane for pleasure, but he also flies medical flights, whether it's for organs or whatever the case may be. So he's not just doing this for pleasure also. As far as the 9 flights a day, I got an issue with that myself as far as putting a number on it. I don't believe that there should be a number on there, because if you take a look, he said there's been 2 helicopters there maybe in the past month. What are we going to say? If we're going to put a number on this and say that there's 9 flights per day, are we going to average this? Because if he doesn't have any flights one day and you got 10 flights the next day, what are you going to do, penalize him because he had a 10th flight in there? I mean, that's ridiculous. As far as One thing about this deal, I mean, until today I didn't know this, Mr. West had to sell off part of his property. It's a shame he had to do that. You've got these people that's moved in there in the last 10 years. I mean, I myself, if I'm going to buy a piece of property, I'm going to take a look around and see what's going on around me. Now, they had to know, or somebody from the real estate company should have said something to these folks about that airport being there, that airstrip being there. You know, you move in there and then you want to change what this man's been doing for 34 years? I don't think that's right. He's not trying to expand the place. We're not, as one of the planning and zoning people said, open up a BWI. That opens up a whole other ball of wax, because once you get into commercial, there's a whole new different set of rules that come into apply there. The state police, I'm a former police officer, as Mr. Rogers has been, and the state police certainly can land anywhere they want to. But for the safety factor, they are landing at that airport for safety reasons, to not have to land on the roads or land in other people's property. I mean, thank God they're there to do what they do. And I'm certain that the folks that are opposed to this permit would never stop somebody from landing there if they had an emergency in their own home that would require somebody to be medevaced out of there.
They can land anywhere they want, sir.
Nobody's, yeah, I understand right. That, but I'm just saying they're, for safety purposes, they're going to his airport to land. Right. Rather than just land anywhere they can, whether they can or not. That's not the issue. I think, other than that, I guess I've covered everything. I'd be proud to live by Mr. West. he takes care of the property, and if you look at Mr. Corman's airstrips, the one in Milton, and I've been by the one in Farmington, those places, everything is neat as a pin. There's not stuff laying around. There was a concern about the issue of fuel, and Mr. West and his attorney have addressed that. They don't keep fuel on site or hydraulic fluid or any of that stuff, maybe enough to, like you keep a quart of oil in your garage maybe, but so that they can top off, but they don't have a fuel servicing area there at all. I think a little common sense needs to be applied here. Mr. West is just trying to comply with the wishes of the council in the state of Delaware, and that's all he's doing. He's not asked to expand anything that other than what he has now. And I think there's much ado about nothing, and I think we need to approve this and get on about our business. And I thank you.
Thank you for your time, sir.
Anyone else wish to speak in support of this application? Tune in to GMD. Fan?
Good afternoon. My name is Laura Marvel. I live on Daisy Road in Frankfort. I've lived on Daisy Road basically since 1984 when my parents purchased the property. There's a lot of air traffic over our house. Is it because of Mr. West? Certainly not. There are constantly planes from Ocean City traveling up and down the coast. There's a lot of noise, but they aren't going to Mr. West Airport. I can also speak that today there are not three airplanes there. I have started looking myself when I drive down the road just because I'm curious now. I've seen the most two lately. My husband does work for Mr. West. He does farm. I'm certainly not here because my husband works for Mr. West. That does not influence me in the least. I would be standing up here if I thought it was a bad thing in opposition to him, regardless of whether or not my husband worked for him. But I am in support of it. I don't see where it causes any of us nearby any danger or any imposition. So I certainly support it.
Thank you very much, ma'am.
You're welcome.
Anyone else in support wish to be heard? I think we've covered everybody in support. Is there anyone here in opposition? And are all of you folks represented by Mr. Weidman? Or maybe we'll let Mr. Weidman tell us who he represents. And then if he doesn't represent you all, we'll give you a chance to speak also.
Thank you, Mr. Griffin. Mainly I represent Mr. and Mrs. Kersey. There are some other neighbors who have contributed to the representation in this case, but they're not here today.
Could you tell us who all you are representing?
Well, let me just say that it's Mr. and Mrs. Kersey, C-U-R-C-E-Y, and that way the other individuals – can have an opportunity to speak, but I think Ms. Kersey wants an opportunity to speak when I'm finished, if that's okay. I don't think she has a whole lot to say.
Anybody can speak who wants to.
I appreciate that, Ms. Paul. I'll try and expedite this. Gentlemen, my name is Dave Weidman. I'm an attorney at Hudson Jones, Jaywerk & Fisher. And you've heard one side of the story in this case. I'm not going to take up a whole lot of time, but I appreciate your indulgence in listening to the other side in this case. Mr. Willard began his presentation by stating the goal of the applicant. And what he said was to allow continued use as it has existed in the past. And I wrote that down. And I could submit to you, if that were the case, I wouldn't be here tonight, or this afternoon, rather. My clients wouldn't be here this afternoon. Mr. Cole asked, why do you want to expand it, of Mr. West? He said he doesn't want to expand it. And I submit to you, if that were true, I probably would not be here, my clients would not be here, because I think there's a lot more that we can agree upon than disagree upon. I think you have to ask yourself, as elected officials, who does this application benefit? And I could identify four major categories. We've got the West family. We've got farmers who benefit from spraying from the crop dusters. And we have emergency operations with airplanes and helicopters. And then we have others with private planes or helicopters who may or may not live in the area. And I can tell you right now, my clients agree that they don't want to restrict the West use of their airstrip. My clients agree that they don't want to restrict the use of the crop dusting that's existed there for the past 30-something years. And I can tell you my clients agree that we don't want to restrict the movement of any operations aircraft. Okay? It's the fourth prong that causes the problem here. The individuals who have private planes or helicopters who may or may not live in the area. And you've heard here, and the Planning and Zoning Commission heard that, well, you know, these are people who have just moved in within the last 10 years. These people are going to tell you that during the last 10 years, there hasn't been a problem with Mr. West or his airstrip until there was a substantial expansion, albeit illegal, of the scope of use, meaning an increase in helicopters. There were banner planes flying out of there, and it was in a frequency that caused this rural community to file complaints with the Planning and Zoning Commission, and when the investigation was done, they found out that there was no permission to use the property this way. I think what we would like to ask you to do, and hopefully the people who feel passionately about it on the other side can agree, is balance the rights of all the individuals involved regarding the use of this piece of property. And that's really what you're being asked to do. We'd like you to balance the rights of the Wests. We've established the right of the state to land wherever it wants. We'd like you to consider the benefit provided by the crop dusters to all of us, and even perhaps occasionally some of the people who don't live in the area that want to use this airstrip. But at the same time, we would ask you to also consider the people that live there and are impacted. And I asked my client, and she did a great job doing it, to identify the people that are impacted that oppose the expansion of the use. And as you can see, in green here is the airstrip. Everything you see in red is a piece of property that's owned by somebody that signed the petition in opposition to this application. So these are the people that also have an interest in this property, and they have a substantial interest in the effect that it's going to have on their land value and their quality of life. I'd like to submit this into the record if I could.
For my benefit, could you tell me how somebody way down there in the bottom where that's red, how's that going to impact them? The one on the bottom there.
Well,
they just wanted to sign a petition, Dale.
I mean, no, down the bottom. How's that going to impact that far away?
Well, I don't think.
Down at the bottom. The red
Sam,
right there.
Here.
Right.
Right here.
They'll be able to tell you, Dale. They're in the back corner. They'll come down and tell us in a little bit.
Okay. All right. Thank you. You don't have to. Good. They'll be here.
That's fine.
Cancel that.
I don't think it takes more than a whole lot of common sense, though, to realize that the distance between the green area and this red parcel down here is probably not more than a half mile.
Yeah.
I could be wrong.
Okay.
But helicopters that are going to take off and hover in the area are certainly going to impact that person that lives there. But that's
okay. We'll hear from them.
Those are the owners, then I'm sure they can
answer. Thanks.
Made part of the record.
as I said at the Planning and Zoning Commission, there's a great concern about... Oh, let me answer one question that you all had about the 15-foot right-of-way and the easement. There's a license agreement that's recorded in the land records for this 15-foot right-of-way. Okay? It's at book 3140, page 218. It's not an easement. It's not drafted as an easement. I can give you this copy. Let me make a note of the book and page number. I did not know it was going to become an issue. Otherwise, I would have brought copies with me. But I can get a copy from the land record. As you'll see, it's a license agreement, and the problem with the license agreement, as I see being written, is that it appears that the licensor can terminate it at any time. So I'll submit this into the record as well.
Be a good thing for Mr. Griffin.
He made part of the record.
Now, the 60-foot right-of-way off Route 17 is an easement, and that is at book 3140, page 213. So that is a more permanent consent to use the property for ingress and egress. I have a copy of that. I'll write that down as well. Give you my copy.
Made part of the record.
Now, I'm going to go back where I was going to start regarding the land records in this case. One of the problematic aspects of this application, and something that I hope would give you pause for concern, is that Mr. West's 28-point-whatever-acre parcel is subject to an option, several options, as a matter of fact. So as I said below, you could, and you're hearing again from me now, you could grant him the conditional use. You could place whatever conditions you want upon it, which would run with the land. Mr. Willard's going to tell you that those conditions would run with the land. But whatever Mr. West is representing to you now, in terms of saying he doesn't want to expand the use of the property and he wants to continue the use as he was using it before, could be changed by another applicant who wants to come back and move for a modification of the conditional use. Of course, you would have the ability to deny that or grant it. But I think what you need to consider is that Mr. West has made this airstrip subject to three different options, and I introduced those options into the record at Planning and Zoning below. I would ask you to consider that fact when you make your decision. Because from my client's perspective, I think it's disingenuous here to say that the Planning and Zoning Commission adequately considered the concerns of the people who were impacted in the surrounding area. In fact, I think that you will find that the conditions that were set forth by the Planning and Zoning Commission are rather devastating to the people who live in the surrounding area. Because if you allow 9 landings per day, presumably at some point that aircraft will have to take off, so you're talking 9 landings and takeoffs at some point in time. If you allow that, you're talking over 3,000 landings per year. And you're going to hear from the people that live nearby that that is a greatly expanded use of this property compared to what it has been used for in the past. You heard an individual here today state that they crop dust during the spring and then again in July. My clients are used to that. However, if you allow 9 landings per day, you're talking about a completely different kind of airport. You're not talking about a rural airport anymore. And common sense says, as we all know, that you provide somebody with space, they're going to fill it. You put a number in there that allows 9 landings or takeoffs per day, that space will eventually be filled. One individual suggested there shouldn't be a number in there. I think it would be a very short period of time before you saw a very busy little airport down in this rural area. What we're asking you to do is we're asking you to respect the rights of the people who live around this airstrip to continue to live the way they have, with this airport being used for largely agricultural use, emergency aircraft use, maybe the occasional private plane or helicopter, occasionally, beyond the West family, and you will meet their goal of allowing the use as it has existed in the past. And that is what my clients basically are willing to live with. If it goes beyond that, I suggest to you now, as I did in my letter, that I think that the application violates the comprehensive plan, which designates this area as a low-density rural agricultural area in a level 4 area of the state, and therefore is impermissible, and the application and the approval would be arbitrary and capricious under Delaware law. That basically ends my presentation. I would like to ask Rick Evans to come up here and answer a couple of questions that are relevant to the application.
You do have here a list here of conditions that your client supports, not so much Mr. Evans, but the people who are paying you.
Mr. Cole, those conditions were outlined in my letter to the Planning and Zoning Commission, but I also reiterated those conditions in a separate letter to the County Council.
But in this booklet we have here,
yes,
which has got your name on the front,
yes,
those are something like that your clients are comfortable with. They're not opposed to like somebody said, opposed to this conditional use, not in its entirety. Okay.
In the event that the conditions set forth by the Planning and Zoning Commission were accepted carte blanche by the County Council, they would be opposed to this application.
You got concerns with Planning and Zoning's recommendations,
entirety.
But your clients do support recommendations such as these.
They could live with those.
Okay, I got you. Okay.
Mr. Evans, can you tell the Commission who you are, where you live?
Rick Evans, Evans Road, Frankfort, Delaware. Full-time realtor in Bethany Beach for the past 24 years.
Get close to that mic there, so everybody
can hear. Okay. Full-time agent in Bethany for the past 24 years with Anderson Stokes and Long and Foster.
Do you also appraise real property?
I have done CMAs for insurance agencies, banks, estates, and sellers.
Can you tell the County Council what CMAs are so that we have it on the record?
Certified market analysis.
And what is a certified market analysis?
If I could, I'd like to hand out these maps to just show. I just did a CMA next to this airstrip.
You just take one passage. I appreciate it. And what is the CMA? You want to explain that?
Yeah, we're going to go back to that.
Oh, okay. It's appraisal?
It's a certified market analysis, just to give an opinion on value.
No, they're two different creatures.
Okay.
But can you tell the council what purpose does a CMA serve?
It determines fair market value of property, in an area. That's what a bank or a seller might come to me for. But as
can I interrupt you before you get to your handout? Can you tell the county council your personal experience with this property in this area? I mean,
I'm 47 years a native of Sussex County, Del Tech, Salisbury State. I've been full-time in real estate since 1984. Mm-hmm. And actually, as a kid, I rode tractors and farmed on that farm behind this airstrip in the 60s. So I'm quite familiar. I still hunt that property. So I'm a local and I'm very familiar with the airstrip. And the local area.
And before you explain what you did on that handout, can you clarify something that was said on the record about how far the West live from the airstrip?
It's from my truck records, I've got 2.8 miles from County Road 54, which is Omar Road. And that wasn't driving over to Mr. West's house, but it's 2.8 by road. And where I hunt on the 196-acre farm of Elmer and Ruth Ann Evans, I walked that farm quite a bit over the years, deer hunting, goose hunting, what have you.
Can you visually see, if you're standing on the airstrip, Mr. West's home?
No.
Okay. Can you tell the county council what you did to prepare this handout?
Well, Elmer and Ruth Ann Evans could not be here today because Elmer has health problems, and she's my cousin. But back in the 60s, I used to ride tractors with my aunt and Elmer and on that farm, so I am very familiar. But their concern is not to take the airstrip away from Mr. West. I know Mr. West, and like Mr. Weidman said, their concern is if you expand this, I talked with three different appraisers, and I got a consensus from the notes that they feel with the economy the way it is, everything's depreciated at least 20-25% anyway. But we feel fair market value on this 200-acre farm, which is owned by my cousin, could actually go down another 25%
And let me interrupt you. You're pointing to
the yellow.
The yellow on the handout, for the record, on the copies that you gave to the council members?
Correct.
Okay.
The orange is land sold by Powell Farms to Millville Township. So we know within 1/2 mile, Millville Township is coming to the south, down 17. He got 47,000 per acre. But now today in this market, that's probably down 20%. And they're afraid that if, you know, increased air traffic, based on the appraisers that I've talked to and the information I've gathered, could impact the value of her 200-acre farm, which there's not many 200-acre parcels left in that area.
From your experience as a professional real estate agent and somebody who has performed CMAs, do you have an opinion as to what effect this airstrip would have on the surrounding property values if it is approved so that 9 landings per day and helicopters can use this airstrip?
I mean, personally, I don't think if you had 9 landings a day, but if you start having this, you know, 6 days, 7 days a week, that's a lot of numbers per month. I personally feel as a professional that would affect the value, because it's affecting some values now, because on the end of 17, I work with a girl that's lived there probably 10 years, and I've worked with her 20 years, but the airplanes do go directly over her house. That's Emmy and Lester King.
And how would it affect the values of the property?
I think the consensus was from those appraisers, which some of you would even know the people I talked to, 20 years experience, that we feel it would affect the land depreciation at least another 25% by being next to, if it was at full use, full capacity.
According to the conditions that planning and zoning set forth?
Right.
Okay.
But again, they're not opposed for him to have private airplanes or Mr. Foreman, which I know all the farmers that he mentioned, but I'm just making a point that it could affect the value of that 200-acre parcel.
How much do you think it would affect the value of that 200-acre parcel?
I think it could depreciate acreage 20. We came up with 25%. I'm going to say 20%. And when you're talking 200 acres, I mean, when these properties sold at $2 to $3 million apiece, if they need this money for health reasons, I mean, Elmer, Ruth Ann, and Aunt Moore worked it for years to pay for it. I just don't feel that they should. And my Aunt Lou and Uncle Albert, they were there in 42, and Elmer was there in the 60s. So this was long before the airstrip.
Okay. Mr. Evans, I appreciate it. I don't have any further questions. Do any of you gentlemen have questions for Mr. Evans?
No.
What was the biggest deer you shot?
No.
Thank you.
That basically concludes my presentation, unless you have any questions.
Questions? I don't think so. Okay. Not at this time, anyway.
Thank you.
Yep.
Is there anyone else who wishes to speak in opposition? Mr. Rizzo?
Different situation, ain't it?
Yeah, different, isn't it? Michael Izzo, 34568 Persimmon Place. I live in the flight path of the runway. I purchased my property in 1986, which is a little bit more than the 10 years that's been alluded to. When I purchased my property, I knew that the airport was there, and I did my due diligence to figure out what exactly it was. I went to Lawrence Lank and planning and zoning, and what I was told at that time was that it was a small private airport, but it was restricted to the 3 or 4 or 5 aircraft of people who live there that could use the runway. And for the most part, that's basically what it's been. Again, we have no problem, and I'm not speaking for a large group of people, but I think the consensus opinion is we don't have any problem with Mr. West and his family's continued use of the airstrip. We don't have any problem about the agricultural uses. It fits in with the rural nature of the area, and it's very appropriate. And obviously, if a medevac or an emergency aircraft needs to make use of it, that's very much appropriate. We do have some concerns. I would say I have 5 significant concerns, the first of which is the helicopters. Unlike in past years, more recently, the helicopters have taken to hovering over our houses, and there's a lot of disturbance associated with them doing that. And frankly, no one has appeared at either one of the public hearings, the public hearing at Planning and Zoning, the public hearing today, and stated, I own a helicopter, or I'm a helicopter pilot, and I want to come in and use this, and I deserve the right to do that. No one has made that argument or presented themselves as, you know, requiring that need. The other thing I'd like to bring up is the term operations. Operations represents either one landing or one takeoff. And in the condition, I think that the term operation should replace the term landings. So rather than say nine landings, it should be nine operations. So either, you know, five takeoffs, four landings. And if it needs to be an even number to make it make sense, that's fine. But I do think it should be a total number of operations a day, not just restricted to landings.
So you're saying a landing and a takeoff, if they come in and drop somebody off, that's two.
That's correct. And, you know, in the aviation world that I'm familiar with, that's how we count use at an airport, operations.
That's trips or whatever you want to
call it. Right.
Okay.
Itinerant use, the recent tragedy that resulted in the deaths of the Van Skyvers, that resulted from a pilot landing for the first time at the private Melvin Joseph Airstrip. These strips are unregulated and should be reserved solely for the use by aircraft based at the airstrip who are with pilots familiar to the area. Itinerant pilots, including those who ferry passengers, should be directed to the public Sussex County Airport where proper safety zones and navigational aids are in place. And I'd like to read just quickly from an article that came out in July of 2007, shortly after the Van Skyver accident. And in the article, it states, DelDOT does not currently regulate the state's private airports, which range from short grass strips next to private homes to relatively large modern facilities. Although DelDOT will offer their input, the regulation of private airports is left to county governments that must approve local land use variances for the operations of such facilities. In a July 2006 letter to the National Transportation Safety Board, DelDOT Secretary Carol Ann Wicks said, DelDOT has not and does not plan to conduct inspections of private airports in the state. This falls outside our legal mandate. DelDOT does not have any plans at this time to provide oversight or enforcement of private airports. So it's kind of left up to the language that's in this conditional use to regulate the use of the airport. And I'll add one more paragraph. This comes from Representative Dan Short. He states, it's my understanding operations have ceased at the Joseph's Airstrip. However, the accident that occurred there illustrates the need to review the operation of private airports in Delaware. I believe we should establish standards for their safe operation and take steps to ensure compliance. It's a common sense move that will make pilots, motorists, and the families living near these operations safer. So before we expand it and allow itinerant pilots to come in and people to ferry passengers, those standards need to be in place. Lights. In the condition that was proposed by P&Z, it says the airstrip use is restricted from dusk to dawn. And my question is, therefore, lights should not be needed, and the condition that permits lights should be deleted from the record. And finally, here in Georgetown, we have an airport committee in use. You know, rather than if there is some misstep by the applicant, it would make more sense to me to establish an airport committee. An airport committee has existed for years in Georgetown, and it provides a forum to resolve complaints and distribute information to the neighborhood residents by the applicant. To me, maybe we could work out a lot of the problems, should they exist, between the local neighborhood directly with the applicant rather than having to come up and deal with a zoning inspector, count operations, and things of that nature. So maybe we could find a friendly relationship from that point of view, and I think that might benefit the neighborhood and users of the airport as well. And to that end, I also have modified the conditions, and I won't read all those conditions, but I'd like to turn it in.
We got copies of it.
Okay.
But you could put it on the record.
Yeah, I'd like to just put this on record.
That way we got it is in the permanent file.
Made part of the record.
Thank you, Mike.
Yep.
Do you have anything else?
Nope.
Okay, thank you.
Anyone else who wishes to speak in opposition? Yes, ma'am.
Yes, young lady. She's the red square down the corner. Mr. Dukes?
We know where you live.
That can be kind of scary in this area. My name is Joe Brown, and my husband and I own property on West Airport Road. We reside on Daisy Road, and we have a rental property on Daisy Road. So we have three properties that are marked on your map. We're impacted, to answer your question directly, Mr. Dukes, we're impacted by the fact that we own property on West Airport Road. And you can see how far away our residence is from the airport, all the way down there in the corner of the map. But we can still hear, like this past week, there was a fairly large airplane, and we could hear it idling on the airstrip. We're a mile. We can see the planes that are coming in and see them start their approach. And, you know, we can almost count the planes that are coming in from that direction, from the east direction, going into it. It's a little more during the winter time when the leaves are off the trees. But that was to directly answer your question. I did submit a letter via email to Mr. Phillips yesterday, and I have a copy of it with me. I'd like to hit on some points that weren't necessarily hit. Granted, the airport's been in operation for 30 years, but we haven't had a hearing, and so these hearings are not sudden. They're not. They've been a long time coming. And I'd like to reiterate that we don't have any opposition to a personal airstrip. When we moved into the area 25 years ago, we knew about a personal airstrip that was there for crop dusters and Mr. West's private airplane. That's what we understood it to be. As time went on, the air traffic there and has grown, and the types of planes that have gone in has changed. They've grown. The planes and the helicopters are getting bigger. Letters in clear terms from the county inspector indicated that a permit for the airport or heliport use was required. An opportunity was provided for Mr. West to provide copies of his approvals for that use. An August 4th, 2005 violation notice clearly states that all use of this airfield must cease until a conditional use is applied for and approved. Why does this podium make me so nervous? Is it that electric shock?
We've not turned that on yet.
Okay. Oh, no.
Depends how long you stand.
I'm going to talk as fast as I can.
Take your time.
Where you live, wait till you get home.
I know. All documentation and/or an application for this conditional use will need to be filed by the date below, which was August 30th, 2005, or all said use must terminate. To this day, flights at the airstrip continue without enforcement of that warning. And even though the deadline for that application was allowed to pass, the conditional use application before you is dated November 13th, 2006. Enforcement is something that I think we have an issue with, too. We want to be able to count on the enforcement of whatever you set forth. And it's going to be a tough one without putting numbers on things, averages. Enforcement has been a long time coming for 30 years, and that's the proof right there. When the conditional use was filed on November 13th, 2006, I would suggest that it was incomplete. The site plan that you have is a survey done in 2004 for the 2005 sale of the surrounding properties. It is neither a site plan nor a survey of the application property. It doesn't include the deeded tax ditch rights of way, property line setbacks, existing or proposed wells or on-site septics, designated parking areas, hangars, helipads, or any proposed buildings. But it does show an easement for foot and vehicular traffic across the end of the runway, on the runway itself. At the Planning and Zoning Commission hearing, when asked about additional buildings or anything different on site, Mr. West started off by saying, no, nothing. But through the course of the questions from the board, the application became amended to include an 80-foot by 80-foot hangar, now recommended for up to 10,000 square feet of building. Right? Mr. West can clearly be heard about additional buildings at that hearing to say, I cannot put a limit on that. Can't put a limit on buildings. Can't put a limit on flights. Where does enforcement come in? Again, I think that it's typical and reasonable to expect that a site plan specifically for an airport would include flight patterns and topographic features, power poles, designated direction of flights, takeoffs, homes, designated direction of flights and takeoffs. Right now, planes are allowed to take off and land in either direction throughout the day. No flight direction is strictly adhered to. For an airport application, it's also typical and reasonable to expect the inclusion of other valid impact studies. Again, our home is a mile away from the airport, and we hear landings, we hear takeoffs. And when the weather's right and the plane's big enough, we hear them idling on the airstrip. The traffic study that was submitted to you, if the access is from Route 17, the traffic study's not relevant. That traffic study is for the access from 370A, from West Airport Road. If the access to this is on Route 17, and it should be, for ease of emergency equipment to get in there, there has to be a traffic study on Route 17. And the sales option was also admitted from the application. The application was incomplete when it was submitted to you. When the airstrip began, it was 114 acres and on a personal air, and it was a personal airstrip. That has already changed. It's already changed significantly. The property is no longer isolated as described. Mr. Morin, a private pilot, uses the airstrip, a partner in the purchases of the property, has built a large house and large buildings directly adjacent to the far end of the airfield. Catholic Church is building a large facility, Our Lady of Guadalupe, on Route 17 across from the airstrip, and it's going to bring large volumes of traffic to that immediate Route 17 area. Again, no Route 17 traffic study's been done, but that area is at the end of the runway. Millville by the Sea and other developments in the area slated to bring large growth to the area as well. The area described as isolated is changing. The increased volume and types of the aircraft at the airstrip over the years have not seen equal improvement to the airstrip to accommodate them. And it's still a personal size, use-sized grass strip. And this application is asking an allowance of 278 aircraft a month. Some aircraft, of course, that are coming in now are larger and heavier than the West's private plane. At the commission hearing, Mr. Morin described how the turnout flight patterns required to provide noise abatement and add safety for area residences requires a less than favorable flight, even to the extent that he expressed sincere concerns for his own safety as a pilot when executing this maneuver. Unfortunately, with the growth of the area, there's going to be more obstacles requiring flying techniques to adapt even further, and perhaps further compromising safety for the pilots and for the public and for the residents. At the hearing, it was reiterated that Mr. West never turns anyone away. When questioned about enforcement for the proposed condition for the maximum number of flights at the airstrip, he expressed his hopes that those numbers would be averages and perhaps rather than enforceable absolutes. Also pointed out that Mr. West keeps a logbook, but in reality, it's each pilot's responsibility to log their use of that airport. Mr. West isn't necessarily there to enforce anything. He may be farming, flying as a medical supply volunteer, attending fly-ins in other parts of the country, or just simply away from his home. And even so, his home is 3 miles from the airstrip and farther away than many of the residents here who take issue with the growth of the activities at that airstrip over the last 30 years. The concerns of the airstrip have grown with as many years as the airport's had to grow. And there are many aspects of the situation which deserve to be heard and to be heard when considering and recording the allowable or prohibited uses at that location. And I think we all thank you sincerely for the opportunity to finally be heard. I also included a list of possible conditions or things that we would care for you to consider before you make the decision, and if the decision is favorable to the conditional use, please consider the reasonable, what we consider reasonable conditions that we've presented.
And when you mean we, you mean you and your husband? Yeah. You're speaking for yourself. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, that's good.
Plus, there's a buzz in the air, you know.
But no, okay. we'll just assume it's your
answer.
Airplane.
No, we'll just assume it's your
answer.
Yes, sir. Comment. Yes, sir. It is signed by
great.
Myself and my husband. Yes.
Gotcha. Okay.
One thing that I would like to have said here too is I would be interested to know if flight school training is considered a commercial use, and I would also like to ask that you prohibit touch and goes on the property. Again, I'll submit this.
And those are in your list?
Yes, sir.
You got that? Okay.
Yes, sir.
So your impact, you feel, is mainly noise?
Well, I think that it has an impact on the area overall because it's unchecked. It's not, you know, it seems to have no limitations.
I guess I'd never considered. I guess I'm impacted also because the flight plan going from Philadelphia to Salisbury, they go directly over top of my house, and right over top of my house, 20 to 25 miles from the airport,
mm-hmm.
they cut their engines. And you can hear them when they cut the engine, even inside the house.
Yeah.
And you think they're going to fall out of the sky, but they cut their engine, they start coasting and coming on down going into Salisbury. Well, I have helicopters that fly over my house all the time. They go from Georgetown to wherever, they're highballing to Salisbury Hospital. I got a neighbor who's got a helicopter, and when he gets that thing out, you know he's in the air.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I know who they are. I know what they're doing. It doesn't.
You know where to complain.
Yeah. You know, so I guess we're all impacted with noises or
well, there could be
something
further,
at times.
There can be further impacts, depending on the use and the growth that goes on there. There are power lines that run right along Route 17 at the end of that airstrip, and there are no markers on them to protect them. I've heard tell, and I haven't seen it myself, of pilots flying under those wires. Is that an acceptable altitude? Is that a safe altitude?
That could be an urban legend.
Okay.
Richard used to brag about that when he'd sit around having coffee.
Okay.
And nobody ever believed him.
Okay. Well, I didn't hear it directly from him. But that could impact us. You know, I understand that one airplane accident down in Williamsville down on Route 54, I believe it was, somewhere cut the wires and chicken houses lost all of their stock. I don't have chicken houses, but it could impact us.
Okay.
And who do they call if Mr. West isn't home? Do they just go ahead and land anyway because he's never turned anybody away anyway?
Cell phone.
And I would like to see that the access be limited to the Route 17 one because I think that's integral.
Okay.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Do you give those to our attorney, please?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Be made part of the record.
Thank you, sir.
Anybody else over here? Come on down.
Come on.
Jane, you'll get these things from the
spot.
Okay.
He'd be more than glad to. Patient?
I thought she told you.
My name is Sandra Kersey, and I live about 997 feet from this airstrip. I guess I'm the person that moved around 10 years ago, and I'm trying to change the neighborhood. I have.
They're agreeing with you.
No. I have here. Letters from people that were not able to attend the meeting that presented me with letters.
You can just give them to us and we'll put them in the record.
Thank you.
Thank you.
It's true that there haven't been helicopters since we got notice that there was going to be a conditional use hearing. I have, but this is just a typical. On October 3rd, 2006, helicopter came in at 9:30. Two helicopters came in at 9:40. Helicopter took off at 9:50. Helicopter 10:05 landed, 10:18 took off. That's one day. I don't know if anybody came out because I don't stand outside 24 hours a day. This is just while I'm out and about. October 4th, the next day, 2006. Helicopter landed approximately 9:25 a.m., took off about 9:35 a.m., looped around, came in again, landed 9:44, took off 9:51. Helicopter landed 10 a.m., helicopter landed 11:35. I could go on, but That's just, you know, typical. He also had, Mr. West also had these helicopters coming in at some period, and I called them because they said that they had a local facility. So I called to find out what the local facility was in Ocean View, and it was Mr. West Airport off of Route 17.
And who are they?
Horizon Helicopters.
And they do what?
They do touring, aerial photography, I don't know, it's in here, flight training. They were just coming in and out. They weren't.
They're business.
They're business, right.
Okay.
Well, isn't that the ones that he asked not to come back? I mean, I read that. He said it or somewhere. I don't know. I've heard so much stuff on this last few days.
That's what he said, but they came in after it disappeared in the papers.
Are they still coming back now?
No, they're not coming back
you.
Now. But they did come in after this appeared in the paper for some time. So I don't know how he missed this. Flight. I'm concerned about the flight paths. I have this map showing the runway. They come off the runway. My house is over here where this yellow sticker is. The runway goes this way. They come off, somehow they turn, come into my living area, and then turn and go out the other way. At the planning and zoning hearing, Mr. Morin said that it was dangerous, but Mr. West, it was his noise abatement policy. He would prefer to come off the runway straight, but because Mr. West was inconsiderate of the neighborhood, they were doing this dangerous maneuver, according to Mr. Morin. I don't know if that's true or not. I mean, it seems dangerous. I don't know when they could go straight out and go over the fields, but
I'm not a pilot, so I can't tell you.
I'm not either, so I don't know. At some point, we decided to sell off a small parcel of our property because, for personal reasons, because I wanted to help my son out. And we had people that were interested in it. And they were actually going to buy it. And I got this letter yesterday saying that they're not interested anymore because of the noise. They don't want to live with the noise of the airport. So I don't know if you want to see that or...
If you want part of the record, you can give Mr. Griffin.
You better, hand it in if you want.
It's up to you whether you want to submit it.
Safety is a big issue for me. They do fly low. I've seen planes where my heart stopped because I don't know if they weren't familiar with the area or what, but they just barely missed that top wire. So that's an issue for me. I don't know who's regulating it. Nobody's regulating it as far as I can see. Nobody has done any safety studies there. I also want to say that when I bought my property, the real estate agent told me that there was an airstrip across the street. It was for personal use. They didn't even say agricultural. I subsequently called planning and zoning, and they told me it was a personal use airport. There was one man that had a plane there, and that it was used for crop dusters, which was an allowable use. And so I figured, well, one plane, that's not so bad. It's not just one plane anymore. It's getting to be more and more. I don't know. The size of the planes is another issue. How large... Is there any limit on the size of planes that can fly in there? And I'm talking about private planes, corporation planes, that type of thing. 2-passenger, 4-passenger, 6-passenger?
I would say that would depend on the grassy runway. I mean, you can't have a real heavy plane land on the grass. You'd have to have...
No, but there's bigger planes that come in there and smaller planes. One of the time, a helicopter...
There's got to be a weight restriction. They won't land on grass.
Well, a helicopter flew over by my house, alongside my house, and it was a large helicopter, and it landed over there. We've had in December of 14th, I think it was 2006. My husband and I were going someplace, and here comes a helicopter flying. It landed over there, and I said to my husband, "Who's crazy enough to fly? You couldn't sit. I mean, it was so thick. How could a helicopter be flying in this?" The next morning, we found out that Mr. Freeman was in a helicopter accident. And I thought, they said he landed at his golf course in Bear Trap, which isn't too far from where we live. And I thought, well, that's pretty scary to have two helicopters flying in the area the same day in all this fog. So safety is a big issue with me. I'm concerned about safety issues. And I don't know what the answer is to it. I don't want to stop Mr. West from flying.
The county doesn't have the wherewithal to do anything about safety issues. That's out of our
area. FAA.
Could you address, though, maybe it has been a agricultural-related private type airport. Do you have problems with what your perception of what it has been in the past with
what it's becoming?
What it's becoming. Could you draw a line, a distinction there, maybe with the council? Because it sounds like, you know, you're sitting here, you're opposed to this. Or you don't want us to interpret you're opposed to everything.
No, I'm not opposed to everything. I'm not
then
opposed.
Then would you just try to tell us, specify the parts of what the application is asking for that you don't like?
The helicopters.
Okay.
That's number one. We haven't had 9 planes a month come in there. Now we're asking for 9 a day.
Right.
No, he's not asking for that.
Well, that's what they're giving him approval
But he's
for.
Not, don't say he's, okay. he's not I'm, asking for that.
I'm sorry, I'm not number, familiar with the language you have to.
You're right, they wanted to put a cap on there of how many he could use or could come in there.
We haven't had 9 a month come in there sometimes, and now they're going to allow him 9, or I don't know how to word it, 9 day.
Right.
Which is 63.
They're saying 9 helicopters, airplanes, or anything, basically.
No, they're saying 9 9 from the way I read it. I thought it said 9.
9 landings.
Nine fixed and 2 helicopters, I thought. I may be wrong.
It just says 9 landings.
Does that mean they can't take off?
Yep.
That's a good question.
No, it does say take off. It says landing, and it says it.
Well, my copy doesn't say that.
Anyway,
it's just a moot point.
It is, okay. But you're opposed to the helicopter activity, not the mostly the ag-related and some of the personal
use. No,
okay.
I've never had a problem with that.
But you are opposed, if I get this right, your impression is it's getting used more, it's getting more activity there, so you're afraid of that extra activity that typically wasn't there. So.
Right, okay. They said they don't want banner planes. Banner planes have been in activity there also.
In the past, but I think you got cited on that.
I think the stipulations do say that.
So basically, those are my regulation, safety, and the helicopters are my basic. Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you, ma'am.
Is there anyone else before we close the record?
Here she comes.
Where'd that lady live in reference to the, did she say?
Mm-hmm.
Where she lived in reference to the.
My name is Lulu Daisy, and we own the road that goes in there. And I can tell you why. We asked a surveyor to come and survey our ground. Now, he's not surveyed all of it, but he did go back there on that road, and he found the markings. And so he said, it is on you. He found 2 markings. Now, we don't own all the road. It's about halfway in there. And I don't know who owns the rest of it in there.
But you own the first half, you're saying?
We own the first half.
Beginning is what you're thinking.
Yes.
Okay.
All right. Whether that or all of that, of the first half.
Do what?
The first half.
The whole thing.
They own the property abutting it, if you look at it.
Right.
That's Daisy's.
Right here. They're saying here, all up.
Over. They're Albert Daisy, just to here.
Okay.
Her line comes in, right. Then here did somebody else.
Okay.
Right.
He was so kind that he came, he called and asked us, could he come out there on a Sunday? Now, I don't like Sunday work. But he came out there, and he went and found the markings on that road on Sunday before we were here for county planning and zoning. Mm-hmm. So that's because I told people I don't know, but I wanted to know, and we're going to have the rest of our ground, but that's not got anything to do with that. And also, something that has bothered me, When we were here before for planning the zoning, one of the gentlemen asked Mr. West if anything had ever happened back there. And Mr. West said, not that I know of. We haven't had any fatalities. Well, that's true. But there was a man turned an airplane over, and he got out, okay, and he walked clear to our house, which was, I would think it'd be close to a mile, and to call his son to tell him to come. And when he got down there, it wasn't very pleasant.
Was it, did that aircraft land on the airstrip, and yes, he walked down here?
Okay. Yeah, it did. It was on
it
the
an
airstrip.
Emergency landing, or?
What?
Was it an emergency landing?
No, 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 it wasn't. The man was trying to take off with it, and he turned her over.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
And Mrs. Davies, before you go, do you have any comments on the helicopters or any of the other issues that we're talking about?
Well, I disagree with the helicopters because they are so noisy. And we live on 17 and Daisy Road on the corner.
Yes, ma'am.
And when they, I know there was some came in there and they shook our house. And that's not a very good feeling. And they are so loud. I have no objections to Mr. West having his airplane and Mr. Morin's airplane and the crop duster.
Crop dusters,
she
right.
is loud, but I can understand that people need the crop duster.
Right,
yes,
right.
Agriculture. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am.
Anyone else who has not been given a chance to speak?
My name is Nancy N. Hitch. I live at 3468 Rickards Road. Mr. West flies over my house. I don't object to it. I really don't want to see air traffic increase. I do have a question. If I understand correctly, K&M owners have adjoining property with rights to Mr. West Farm, which tells me that bigger plans are intended. And I'd like to know really what are the future intentions? Because that doesn't sound right to me. If you have the rights to the strip, and then there's all this property around, like they're going to expand and there's going to be more planes coming in.
Well, the conditional uses that we're looking at, and Jim, you can correct me if I'm Shane, is that we're strictly looking at that 25 acres. That's what we're looking at. We can't, you know, look at anything else. We're looking at the conditional use. They're asking for permission by law to be able to land helicopters and airplanes on that 25 acres. And, you know, as Mr. Duke said earlier, at least to best of my knowledge, and I'm not a pilot, they can only land so big a pair, but it's this lighter aircraft, you know, can land on grass. Now, I can't honestly sit here. I might be giving you a line. But, I mean, I assume from what I've seen in my past years that the smaller, like the Piper Cubs and those type, and that's just a brand name I know. But, you know, but
well, if the K&M holding and, it, you know, they have first rights to Mr. West Farm,
then the conditions that the conditions that are put on, this is a conditional use, which means that, as Mr. Cole said, the condition is still AR, still agricultural. There's certain conditions. The zone doesn't change. We say this is what you can do, Mr. West, period.
But it runs with the land.
It's like a permit to do something.
Right, but ma'am, it's not just to Mr. West. It's to that piece of property. So Mr. Morin, who's had a relationship there and has been using the airstrip, if he ended up owning it someday, he would be able to do whatever we permitted Mr. West. But right. My understanding is the Morins who live next door have always, when he got interested in airplanes, he started using that airstrip. So the application is not just personal use probably to Mr. West, but Mr. Morin, again, is for many years now, has had probably a relationship. So I think the council's not going to be really restricting it just to a one individual and his daughter and whatever. So there might be some flexibility there, but it's going to be difficult to come up with a permit that would
So we don't have to, an enforcement issue. I don't. I get a bunch of calls every year when a helicopter comes in there, and I've had them over the years. So we're going to try to hopefully avoid that, and that'll be a challenge.
Right.
But thank you,
ma'am.
But it runs with the land, so we don't want, if this, something happens to Mr. West, we don't want to see another guy come in and not have the same.
He would have to come back for another conditional use to change any stipulation within this.
But we want to make sure that the conditions are not vague and they're clear, black and white, that any idiot can figure them out.
Even us.
Is there anyone else who wishes to speak? All right, we're going to close the public hearing. What's your pleasure, gentlemen?
I got a couple questions, and I'll just see if there's a consensus here. There are impacts on neighboring property, and we do have a gentleman, Mr. Hicken, who's familiar with it or probably could find out. So maybe we ought to know what kind of impacts a small little airport airstrip like this does have on neighboring property owners. So if it has any negative effects, we need to know what they might be. And I don't know what they are, and I don't think any of us do at this point.
That would be bringing a county employee in an advocacy position, which we may want to avoid.
No, he's...
We need to decide the record based on what the applicant... and the opponents say not.
No, we're then ask FAA. Then we don't have to get a county employee. Maybe he could direct us to an individual or to the agency that could get the information that a private grass airstrip, is there a flight path, is there certain restrictions? And I think Mr. Corman alluded to it, and I think we had an experience with it with the tower and other things, how the impacts are. So I'd like to know what the impacts are on neighboring properties, so that I think Mr. Evans here said something about his aunt or grandmother or something.
Then you're going to have to give these folks, both sides, an opportunity.
I don't care. It's been 30 years.
Jim,
I'm not in a rush.
Well, what I'm trying to say is that you would need to make...
Get a cost analysis.
I didn't say a word, Mr. Cole. Don't be starting nothing on me now. You know you're going to need me next week.
He said next week.
You would need to make a motion to keep the record open for that and see if that applies.
Well, I'm just trying to see if I can get a consensus, if you'll sit there for a minute. And then the other thing is, I'll get Kramer on it.
Already been had.
I also, if they want to use that 15-foot lane, I think it might be advantageous to, somebody did mention, and I had a phone call that mentioned the same thing about maybe emergency vehicles getting back there. Like this guy flips over the plane, if somebody had to get back there, somebody's coming out, I mean, whatever. So maybe the local Roxana Fire Company or ambulance service or maybe even our paramedics, somebody could go by and check it out and say that the local emergency operations have no problem getting an emergency vehicle back to this airstrip.
First of all, you need to find out if they're in a contest of who really owns it.
I'm not even worried about who owns it, but if that's what he wants to use, that 15-foot access, because he doesn't want to open up the 60-foot access, because that is low land, and I'm very aware of it. Wait a minute. And then have staff develop. Gentlemen, I would love to have some conditions that we don't have to count airplanes. So I would like to challenge the staff if they could go over the testimony, come back with some recommendations that maybe can address some of the concerns of the neighborhood. And I don't want to be having somebody call up and say, I had 10 airplanes today.
Right. I don't think there's no way we can control it.
That is a difficult situation I don't think we want to be in. So,
I agree.
Mr. Griffin, I think we need to leave the record open, would be my suggestion. And maybe, and I don't know if any of the other councilmen have any other concerns, but those are the three things I picked up that I would like to.
I think certainly the counting of aircraft in Mr. Izzo with landings versus operations would certainly have some wording, and that's again staff could do that. I think some of the conditions that plane zoning certainly did, but I do have a concern. I don't want to count aircraft. I don't want to have to send a constable.
Now, Matt, the worst case scenario, Mr. President, is we may have to do that. But let's just see if we can attempt to do it.
Right.
Come up with some conditions.
I agree.
That avoid and that.
I will support whatever.
And then Shane, if you could contact the Roxana Fire Company and ask him if maybe somebody involved with the ambulance or somebody served could give us some. A letter stating that they see no problem, they think there is a problem, whatever.
I'm going to take it home.
Just to get on record.
They'll take it home. I know.
We can't talk now.
She called me. I'm like, where am I paying at?
Okay, I'm okay. So you need one more to say okay.
So it's not when they get back there. It's the lane to get there.
Right.
So that's access is an issue. Right. So basically addressing.
I think he doesn't care who owns it. Just so he can test somebody.
I don't care.
Thumbs up.
No, I think the testimony said that's what they want to use.
Right.
And So anyway, there's three things I'm concerned about. Has anybody else got any concerns? Dale, you got any cost analysis concerns?
No, Mr. Cole.
Thank you, Dale.
Mr. Rod.
Appreciate that.
I'm with y'all.
You support Mr. Coleman?
Yes.
You'd like to get, I leave the record open?
Well, it's been 30 years. Let's try to get it right.
It seems somewhat vague.
I don't think he could.
Could somebody restate the reason for leaving it open?
That's what I just asked.
Shane, you wrote down, did you?
Because
Mr. Abbott, why don't you rush?
Mr. Cole, with all due respect, you've sort of gone this way and that way. We need to know. If the records are going to be left up, we need specific reasons.
That's not unusual.
Okay. I would like to know, number one, any FAA regulations affecting neighboring property owners with a grass airstrip such as this one. And I'm sure there might be an agency out there in the FAA that has addresses these. I'd also like, number two, comments from the, I think Roxana is probably services that area, right? I'm sure ambulances or fire company. We don't really need the paramedics. So maybe comments from Roxana Fire Company on access to that airstrip through that easement, addressing, is it safe? Is it adequate? Yes or no?
Come at the 15-foot easement.
The 15-foot easement, because that's the comments were, that's what they want to continue using because the land is low in the other spot and it would cost too much, and it is low land.
It's terrible. Man.
All right, and number three was, have staff.
I'll grow rice.
Develop some stipulations that would avoid counting aircraft. You know, the enforcement part of it to try to come up with some stipulations, some conditions that would avoid flight numbers and different things like that. If it's possible, if not, we may have to scrap that one. And so, are those three good enough reasons to do anything?
Well, third, you want this? Do you want the staff to count the airplanes?
No. I'm trying to avoid that. I'm trying to see if they could take all Dale, if they could take all this testimony and come up with some conditions. Weighing both what they've heard from both sides, and give us a format that would avoid an enforcement issue. Meaning,
I really think that's what we've been elected to do, Mr. Cole, to come up with the issues, and should be the ones deciding and not throwing it back on staff.
I'm just asking
if it's a good deal.
No, we'll do it. We'll do them, but we're gonna. I was just gonna have them work on some recommendations on how to do it because you know how it is when we just couldn't get last week. Well, do you want to sit here and have a workshop on it?
Asked today impact, and the only thing I heard impact was noise. And I did hear that one said it possibly could devalue the property.
Right.
But that's
my concern is they're putting a cap of 9 flights.
P&Z.
Right.
P&Z. When the phone calls come into planning and zoning and everything else, that where there's been 10 that day or 11 or something. I'd like to avoid that situation. I think that would be in the best interest of county government and the neighbors and everybody else that if we could come up with some stipulations. And I thought maybe the staff could look at this whole record and maybe come up with some thoughts because they do it more than we do. They were working conditions on all these different applications.
It would be better if this should get approved in some form. It would be much more manageable if you would tell the applicant, you can do this and this.
Right.
You cannot do this and this and put no numbers on flights. As long as they're doing only what they're permitted to do,
right.
You don't need to check numbers.
That's what I'd like to see.
Absolutely.
If we could come up
I
with
think
something.
That, or,
so, Dale, that's
think,
all my intent is on that. So
you
I think
can, you can
they could give us a they could give they could point us in the right direction and we can we make the decision, we fine tune it. So I agree with that part of it. So.
If you can put numbers on you and you don't want to count airplanes, you could say average per day.
Then somebody's counting again, Dale.
Like one day's 10, and next day is nothing. So you know.
I don't, Dale.
Next day,
Dale, you're making it worse. Dale, you're making it worse.
I'm afraid you're making it worse.
I think
you are making
Dale,
it worse.
Dale,
I hate to disagree with
zip
you,
it. Dale, just zip
okay,
it.
Okay, Mr. Cole, I agree with you.
Well, thank you. Did everybody hear that?
Dangerous.
Mr. Griffin,
that gets in the paper.
Now, where are we?
We're actually trying to get. We got three suggestions by Mr. Cole. Mr. Abbott has it. If we get Mr. Rogers agrees with Mr. Cole to go ahead and at least do that, and I feel, and I said I don't have any real heartburn with it, so you know, I don't know if you can come up with some ideas, Mr. Griffith versus staff, or you can talk to Shane and Lawrence, and write it down on a piece of paper and give it a shot to us, and then do we need to give the opposition?
As I heard, at least one of the three was based on seeking input from an outside source.
Correct.
Which would be the Roxanna Fire Company.
Well, actually,
and FAA.
And FAA.
And, well, we can determine in-house what the FAA regulations are.
Okay.
Okay, I hope so, yeah, okay.
But the one that would be to an outside source, if you're going to leave the record open, then I suppose you need a period of 2 weeks after that to let either side comment on the outside information you got.
And make a
something needs
they could
to be
make
clear so that we know when the cutoff is.
Okay.
Okay. 30 and give everybody time. 30. It's been 30 years, so let's go 30 days.
You and then close 30, the. Dow, do you want 30 days after receiving comment from Roxanna? Because we still haven't got the comments yet.
So we'll leave the record open for 30 days to get the comments, and then we'll leave the then we'll have 2 weeks after that. For the to have everybody both sides to be able to look at it.
Right? The same as 30 days and 30 nights.
And both sides could respond
40 days
in
and 40
writing.
Nights.
In writing, both in writing, we'll have both. Like Mr. Weidman can respond on his side, and Mr. What's your name again?
Willard.
Can respond.
Want to put all that in the form of a motion?
I'll make that motion that we try to address those three issues: one with the impacts on neighboring property from FAA. Comments from Roxanna Fire Company about the access
driveway.
Through the easement on its is its viability of a safe mm-hmm. access, and then have staff develop conditions that would not require counting of landings and takeoffs.
Correct.
And
that once that information is received, planning and zoning will make. That'll be received by 30 days, and that information will be available to both sides, and they have 15 days to comment in writing.
Right.
Yes. Okay. That is part of the motion, because I think that I don't think any of these
is that enough? Tim,
any of these three things are going to take a lot of time. It's just going to have somebody do it.
Okay.
We got 30 days for to gather the information, and you have 2 weeks to respond.
Both of
30 days.
Yeah. Is Mr. Weidman? I guess somebody have to explain to Mr. Weidman.
We don't know unless there's a second to the motion that
okay.
passes whether that's going to be the case. But
okay.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead. I made that motion.
Okay. You need a second, gentlemen? Mr. Rogers, second. Mr. Duke's giving the you a look. Mr. Cole.
What are we doing, voting?
We're voting on your,
yes.
Mr. Rogers seconded. Yes.
Okay, I saw two. I didn't. I thought he was giving me a peace sign.
He could
or
do that.
But he's a hippie.
Okay.
Yes.
Yes. Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Dukes?
I'm voting no because I really don't understand what all he's asking for, and I thought it should come up at the public hearing, and I think this is what we should be doing ourselves instead of going outside, but... I'll go either way the rest of you go, but I'm voting on this one.
You're going?
I'm voting no.
You're voting no?
I'm voting no.
Hey, Dale, you're making me mad.
That's all right. You'll need me next Tuesday, Mr. Cole. Don't forget it.
Vehicles are coming up, Mr. Rogers. My vote is yes also.
Hey,
Tim, you have a question? I mean...
4-1 Dukes.
You're referring this to staff to come up with conditions? That's just... Is that
only,
Mr. Griffin?
Only we're asking that they're going to make comments on how to do away with the number, do away with numbers with landings versus
I believe, Mr. I believe the opposition's attorney had some conditions that they could live with, which didn't preclude, or
numbers,
agriculture activities and other things, flights, in other words, having airport activities here. So what I'm trying to do is blend yours and theirs, see if we can come up with something that wouldn't require enforcement in the way of counting.
I know. Mr. Weidman's got numbers, too. It's not going to go to Mr. Izzo, though, right?
No.
He had,
I have a great deal of respect for him.
I certainly think Michael refrained himself and that Mr. Abbott and Mr. Griffiths could come up with something and Mr. Lang. And that will be a 30-day window. And then after that, it will be in the office and you guys can make comments on
it. I'll tickle it for 30 days and come
yes.
and check
okay.
it
out. Okay. We can certainly make things difficult, that's for sure.
And it still may have numbers in it, just we're going to see if we can attempt to do it without. That's
okay.
That'd be a dream come true.
Does everybody understand both sides, what we're doing here? I hope. Yeah. Good. And Mr. Duke's done. Right, he's out. Okay. Gentlemen, thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen, for coming.
I make a motion we adjourn.
Second. That I agree with you, Dale.
All in favor, signify by saying aye.